I feel the Lord, and he told me this several times very clearly, I'm challenging you. I challenge you to take what you feel in here out there. I mean, we challenged you earlier in the year to have a different idea of who God is and what he does and how much he loves you. Allow him to fill you up with that love and then express it to others. I remember the first time that he gave me a word for somebody. I was terrified. I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Well, the thing is, he does it. You don't do it. So you know if you're full of his love, you have no reason to fear when he tells you to reach out to someone. Because you know you're not giving yourself, you're giving him. Thank you, Lord.
Well, you know wet eyes mean tears. You know, when your eyes get wet, you can't blame it on the shower no more. My eyes are wet this morning because the tears are flowing because of the presence of God. Come on. If you know it's a tangible presence in here, I can't blame it on the shower this morning. I can't say I've been out there in the rain and rain hit my eyes. I can say that I'm feeling his presence and I feel that he want to do an overflow. I feel like that he want to move. He wants us to move. I feel his glory is going to move us. Come on, somebody. I feel this. I feel he says, you've been there too long. I want to move you now. You've been doing well there. You've done well. You've served me. You've done so excellent. And I want to move you into a higher place in me. Glory be to God. I want you to come into a higher chamber. I want you to come through a big openness of a portal that the earth itself will receive you without any vengeance. Come on, somebody. You're going to be received, says the Lord. My presence is going to be received through you, says the Lord. Come on and put your hands together. That's when you'll be just so filled that other people begin to receive you. I'm talking about your life being receivable. Glory be to God. He said, I want to move you. This morning, such a presence that hit this building is like a honey. And I believe it's that flowing of new grace that I saw pouring out on Pastor Chuck this morning. How many know that he's going to walk in that grace and glory this morning? Oh, he's pregnant and we're telling him to push, 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 push. That's all he got to do. Somebody say, push. That's all he got to do. Because that glory and grace, that new realm of prophetic flow is going to spew out. And he says, as I'm filling, I'm spilling. And I know that runs parallel with what Kim is saying. You cannot be so selfish with not only with who you are, but what you carry. You can't be selfish. I feel called on an assignment to this service. And though things got disarrayed this week and things almost just kind of had me not being able to be in the service, because I was going to go out of town. But I'm going to tell you, when you're on an assignment and something is supposed to come from your life, you got to be there with him. Come on, somebody. Some things you just say no to. You just have to just say no. Not now, because I'm called and drawn to something that is moving. So I'm standing in front of you this morning by the obedience of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm full, but we're going to move forward. This morning, we're going to go ahead and receive our offering this morning. We want to move that and, you know, get that out the way. So, of course, I'm looking in somebody else's Bible. It's unfamiliar, but the Word of God is the same. We're going to get the envelopes. Thank you. All right. Thank you for being with me this morning. None other than Philippians 4:19. Raise your hand if you need an envelope this morning, even on our online community, our online joining in. Transformations are happening. So many people are tuning in to the fire. And I want you to know that as you tune in, and as you join in, and as you come in, it increases the fire. I love it because it makes the fire get bigger. Come on, somebody. I love being by big fires. Glory be to God. That means we don't need a small fire. We need a huge, gigantic, enormous fire to be burning, forever burning. Amen. I thank God this morning we have some special guests in here. We have Mateo's godfather, Raymond, that drove probably 40 minutes across town. He's absent for his church, but he's in the church with us this morning. So we are just so happy that that unity is being joined back in. Last weekend he came to pick up Mattel. I said, I don't want no child support. Just pick him up. It's okay. I'll write it off. We hadn't seen him in a while, but he's a man of God that have deposited inside of Mattel's life. And a few years have passed, but God has did a full circle again. And he's here with his nephew, Anthony. And we're decreeing that a healing in Anthony's body, the presence of God can heal him and touch him and make him whole. Come on, make him whole. Make him whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So before the word of God and the man of God come forth, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all, somebody say all, your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to minister to you this morning and tell you that he got it all worked out. Glory be to God. If you receive that, he got it all worked out. It doesn't matter about what's going on. When you give in honor and obedience, moving by the way of the Spirit. But what you give may not even match what you need. Could be off. What you give may not have nothing to do with what you need. May not be enough. May not have enough. I want you to know that he got it all worked out. It doesn't matter that you don't have enough. He is more than enough. Come on and receive that. I say he got it all worked out. Help me say he got it all worked out. When you give, you got to have a notion, a signal. You got to have a vibe. That's a new generation in here. You got to have a vibe. You got to have assumption. You should be assuming. You ought to be thinking about. You ought to be convinced that he got it all worked out. And I wasn't going to say it. I was just rejoicing in the Lord. But you know what? I don't hold back the hand of God. His hand has moved again for my two college kids. And this spring semester, debt-free again. Come on, somebody. Debt-free again. It's like a new education system that happened. It's like a favor system that happened. It's like I got it worked out. And we had change of guards and change of movements. So sometimes when there's a change, you don't know what's going to happen. And there is a preparation that you begin to do. You try to prepare yourself. But you can't prepare yourself as well as what God has already worked out for you. I don't care how hard you try to prepare. His working out exceeds your preparation. Come on and put your hands together for the Lord. Oh, I feel that. Somebody tell him yes. You can prepare all day, all night. You can be just like them little ants. Oh, Jesus, back in the country. I know my family online. It's like the ants. And if you put a cracker down, I don't know how they can take a cracker and break it and they can share it. They put that cracker on top of their backs. Come on, somebody. And when you look up, that cracker is going across your living room floor and they taking it somewhere. They just prepare. But I'm telling you, the way you prepare, it cannot exceed or supersede the preparation that he's already done. sometimes we over-prepare ourselves, and favor has no room. But this morning I say, favor, have room in my life. Come on. You ought to say favor and grace. Have some room. Come on. Have some. We got to make some room. So a little bit of me thought, you're going to be in this preparation. Well, worst case scenario, I wasn't doing no preparation. I wanted all of the favor of God. Glory be to God. And so God has moved. And again, I'm so thankful and grateful. It is nobody but God that is seeing to it that my kids are going to their next semester debt free. Debt free. We don't need mammon's money. We don't need mammon's money. And they say, you want to fill out this paperwork and then you see all this loan information. We don't want all that. We want the favor. Come on. We want the grace. We want the grace. We want that. And with the new system that is in place with us, glory be to God. They came and I said, well, you know, I'm just going to get the books. I'm just going to get the books. That's the least I can do. You know, I'm like, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to cough it up. Come on, somebody. But last week, they gave me permission to get every book that they needed. Amen. Favor just rolling out. I want to tell the young people, only you can mess this up. The prayers of the righteous avail it. The way is made. Only you can mess this up. And I speak and decree a greater blessing over every child in this house. That the way of the Lord will manifest and come forth in Jesus' name. So while you give this morning, just know he got it all worked out. God bless you.
Hallelujah. So let's celebrate Jesus this morning. Let's celebrate the great name of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We celebrate you this morning. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated this morning. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I have a great expectation, and I thank you for your expectation and your prayers this morning. Your expectation and your prayers, see? It's effective. We've been saying some, and you know, we know that God, the presence of God has been increasing in these morning meetings, and we want to just recognize what he's doing. But I want to say that God is not limiting it to this moment in this hour. He's also taking it wherever you are. He's taking it wherever you go. I've seen this week, I've seen prayers that were being answered in spectacular ways. People being delivered and set free just from a phone call. Just from people touching and agreeing in prayer this week. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about, if you would, just turn with me to Matthew 3. We want to get some word in here. We want to allow God to move. Mostly we want to allow God to move. Hallelujah. Matthew 3. You know, every place has a beginning. And I have such an expectation for what God is doing. Remember in the Brownsville Revival, for those who are familiar with the Brownsville Revival, that there was a thing that they called that moment of beginning, which they called the Father's Day outpouring. Well, today might just be, in my expectation, it is the Super Bowl outpouring. The Super Bowl outpouring. You'll remember and go, I remember when God came upon me. I remember when God came upon me that Super Bowl morning. Everybody else was planning a party, but God led a party in me. God released something in me that day. He released a super anointing in my life that day. He released a super anointing in that moment because he began to speak and prophesy into my life. Hallelujah. Come on, get it, girl. Get it, girl. Right here, Matthew 3 and 11. Hallelujah. I love it when we're excited. I love it when we're attentive to what God is doing in our life. Hallelujah. Right here is Matthew 3:11. It says, as for me, talking about John, is John speaking here, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, he who is coming, our Lord Jesus, is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 12, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. The unquenchable fire. He will burn up, in other words, he's going to put the wheat in the barn. Say, I'm good. Tell me, just say it with me. I'm good, because he's going to put the wheat in the barn. That means what is good in me, what's already settled, is going to the house. What is not is going to go into the fire. Hallelujah. 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 We've been talking about making a way, making room, making room. So today I want to talk to you some more about making room. You see, making room has some effects in your life. Making room does some things in your life. Hallelujah. Making room, I'm going to give you 8 points and we're going to talk about them. Making room, number one, is reset. We talked about, we opened up the year with reset. Number two, it's becoming new. Number three is restoration. Number four, as we make room, change of emphasis. Number five, entering into His grace. Entering into His grace. Number six is trusting Him. Trust. Number seven is establishment of the Holy Spirit. Man, it's so good to see y'all out here. Number eight is receiving. Receiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not about the words we speak. It's about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it goes forth. So don't just receive the word. Don't just hear it. Receive it. Receive it by your spirit. Let your spirit rise up and grab a hold of it. This morning it's as much about what you grab a hold of as what it is that gets said. I want you to understand, it's not just the words, it's what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives collectively, individually and together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mateo, it's about what the Word is doing. It's about what the Word is doing. You know the love that I have for you, but His love is greater. Hallelujah. Reset. Number one, because basically there's a thing of reset. Tina opened up the year. We spoke about this even before the beginning of the year. There's a reset going on. Basically, he's clearing away the things that have been in the past that clouded the issue, and he began to do a reset in us to get us clarified about where we were going. And if we step into the moment of reset, we're stepping into the moment of destiny. Now, the roof began the last, was it Wednesday? What was the last service? It was Wednesday, right? Yeah, so we on the last service, he began to talk about the reset anointing. He never called it the reset anointing. He called it God reinstituted our original, he reinstituted our original mandate. That's what he called it. But what he was saying was reset. Reset. What he said was reset because and I'll teach that maybe another day, but what he was talking about was he restored our original mandate, which was dominion. It's not just, he didn't just make you a better person. He restored the mandate on your life to have dominion over everything and everywhere. He gave you reset in that anointing. Genesis 1:26 tells about be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. There's a whole language that he's releasing there, but it's not just limited to populating the earth. He's wanting us to be fruitful in every area of our life. He's wanting us to be fruitful in your finance. He's wanting us to be fruitful in your evangelism. He's wanting us to be fruitful in everything that you put your hands to do. Hallelujah. Reset. Reset causes you to become new in Christ. It causes you to become new in Him. It causes us to rise up with a recognition of the new man in our heart, the recognition of the new man in our life. Because when we begin to emphasize the new man, then we're no longer looking at the deed of the old man. that means we can be free of the old man. And so when you see something in your life, in your daily walk that rises up and it looks like the old man, you can recognize, I don't have to be there anymore. I don't have to do that anymore because Christ has made me a new creation. And the old things have passed away and all things have become new. And I hope you're not sitting on the front row because you're getting spit on. Hallelujah. Baptized by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we're a new creation, which leads us into restoration. That new creation leads us into restoration. That restoration means that I'm not limited to my past. In other words, my history is not my destiny. My history is not my destiny. I heard T.D. Jakes say it, and I thought it's worth saying again. So let's say it again. My history is not my destiny. My history is not my destiny. It's got to go. If it wasn't good, it's got to go. If it's not where I'm going from, if it's not where I'm going to, it's got to go. It might have been a good thing, but it may have to go because it's keeping you from being who you're supposed to be today. We want to be who we're supposed to be today. He's preparing a place and a way for you. But that comes in a place of restoration. Sometimes we have to be restored into wholeness because something has come and devastated us so much. It took us off the path and off the track of where we were headed. But you know what? It doesn't have to be the way it continues. You can rise up and recognize, you know, that past doesn't have to speak to me. It doesn't have to command me anymore. I have a choice, and my power of my choice is greater than the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 tells us that the choice that we have is greater than all the power of the enemy. In other words, that first choice, that first power there is that liberty to do what we choose. So when we choose Christ, when we choose Christ, we're choosing something that's greater. When we choose Christ, we're choosing to be the overcomer that He's called us to be. You know, I want to dispel a fear right now because sometimes we're afraid to do what God asks us to do. Kim spoke about it this morning. You know, God gave her a word and she was like real tenuous to go out and hand that word to somebody. But you know what? We don't have to be afraid when God asks us to do something. We don't have to be afraid because greater is He in us than He was in the world. We don't have to be afraid because, Lord, He has already provided the way because you're not, sometimes we think that we're becoming a bigger target because we're doing what God asked us to do. Let me tell you, that is an old way of thinking and it doesn't line up with where God is taking you. Because you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because then when you're lining up and you're doing what God is asking you to do, you're stepping into your destiny and you're stepping into the overcomer that He is in you. And as you do so, He's the one who overcomes. You can let it go. He's the one who's going to overcome. You're now placing yourself in the security of an understanding with Him. You're placing yourself in the security of a covering with Him. You're no longer outside that covering. Because guess what? The enemy hates you. The enemy hates you. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. He hates you because you were born as a child of God. He doesn't matter whether you even step into your Christian identity. He already hates you and He's doing His best to thwart you. But when you come into the covering of God, when you come into agreement with Him, now you're in a place where you're safe from that. Sometimes we think, it looks all good. You know, they're out there serving the devil and He's leaving them alone. Well, because He doesn't have to do anything. They're already continuing His path for Him. But when you come under the covering of God, it's His hand that's upon you. When you come under the covering of God, it's His hand upon you. And His hand is changing you and keeping you safe all the way through. All the way through. All the way through. I don't have to be worried about what God is doing in me. Just say it with me. I don't have to be worried about what God is doing in me. Because He's covering me in everything He asked me to do. Just let that truth sink in. Hallelujah. See, there's a change of emphasis. That was point number four. See, when the restoration happens, we're changed into the likeness of His Word. We're changed into the likeness of His image. We're changed into the likeness of the identity He has assigned for us in Christ. And that means a change of emphasis. There's a change of emphasis. Because see, in the Old Testament, it was all about works. It was all about, the law was about our works. But see, there's a change of emphasis, and it's about grace. It's about seeing what grace of God can do in your life. There's a change of emphasis. And if those, for those who are paying attention, there's a change of emphasis in my ministry now, because it's not about my works. It's about what He's going to do with it. It's about what His Word is going to do, what the Holy Spirit is going to do with the Word. Before, I was so busy trying to craft the perfect Word that that's not the perfect thing. That's not the thing that's assigned right now. What's assigned for us to do is allow the Spirit to flow through. What's assigned for us to do is allow the Spirit of God to touch and make well, to touch and heal, to touch and bring restoration, to touch and bring truth, to touch and release grace. See, what we're saying, when we're changing the emphasis, we're changing the emphasis from law to grace. When we're changing the emphasis, we're changing from doing to receiving. It's a place where we receive. We receive out of the place of grace. We receive out of the very purpose and dominion of God. And we can now begin to serve the dominion of God and stand in the promise and the confidence of the dominion of God. His confidence is for you. His dominion is already set in place for you. All we have to do is recognize that we have an identity that can assume that place of confidence, assume that place of dominion. Well, our identity has to be shifted enough that where we can begin to recognize that His dominion is not just for someone else, it's for me. So His dominion is for me. His dominion is in me. Because it is. There's much that we can do to sit down and teach that. But right now, I just want you to catch it. If you'll just catch it. Just hold on to it. Pull on it. Because see, when His dominion comes from you, now that's what begins to change the operations around you. It starts with an operation in you, but it is released through you. Glory to God. We're making room for His fire. We're making room. And as we make room, these things are beginning to hit us. As we make room, it's what we're beginning to do. Making room means going into a place of reset. Making room means becoming new in Him. Making room means allowing Him to do His restoration in our heart, because we're no longer victims of our past. We can be overcomers with Him. Making room means that we're changing our emphasis, and it's leading us to enter into His grace. Enter into His grace. Tina released a word of grace to me this week, and I totally agreed with it. He had been already showing me, and I had to come to the place where I realized that His grace wasn't, there was nothing that I could do to earn it. There was nothing that I could do to stand in it. It had to be Him doing it. In other words, no matter what, I can't be holy enough to qualify. I'd like to tell you I was, but I'd be a liar. Okay? And I won't look at you and say, hey, you aren't holy enough either. So I look at you, exactly. But because the reality is, there's nothing that any of us can do to qualify. We can't get holy enough. We can't get right enough. We can't be pretty enough. We can't be handsome enough. We can't walk in it out of anything but His grace. It's not because we earned it. It's because He already did it and redeemed you. It's not about our sacrifice. It's not about our sacrifice. In other words, sometimes we have this thought that it's about my sacrifice. In other words, I have to sacrifice this, I have to sacrifice that so such and such can get saved. I have to do this and I have to do that so such and such can be healed. No, it's about God's sacrifice and His alone. It's His sacrifice that made the way. It's His sacrifice that paved the way. And it's not about what we are going to do. It's about what we stand in. And as we stand in His grace, as we stand in the fullness of the knowledge of our identity in Him, guess what? It will make us more holy. Guess what? It's going to make you more handsome. Guess what? It's going to make you a little better when you go with Him. It's going to make your day go a little better. It's going to change you. But it's not because you started out doing that. It's because you stood in the confidence of it. Let me get real with you, okay? My Achilles heel is customer service, okay? For years and years, I made my living doing customer service, okay? And I gave people the best customer service possible. And so when somebody offers me that something so far from the best, I get a little upset. I told you I wasn't holy. Don't look at me like that. But I can tell you, when I've learned, I can remember there was a day not too long ago that where AT&T was telling me, well, we can't do that. Hello? You committed to do that. You said you would be there on Tuesday, and you weren't there on Tuesday, and you weren't there on Wednesday, and I want to know why not. I got things to do and you're holding me up. I can feel the old man wanting to go, and I can feel the old man going, don't do it, Jack, don't do it, Jack. You're a pastor. When you learn to let the new nature speak, what I've seen is so many things. You know what? They not only did it, when they said, there was no way we can do it this week. There's no way we're going to even get it done next week. We're going to put you back in the back of the line. And I said, that's not the way it's going to happen. But I walked in grace. And I kept the old man out of the picture. I kept focusing. I said, Chuck, stay in the grace. Chuck, stay in the grace. Chuck, stay in the grace. And I guess what? I stayed in the grace. And they finally found a way to make it happen. They sent a man out, and on a Tuesday night, he worked and he did all the things that needed to be done. Oh, my God. Only grace of God could have accomplished that. Only His grace. It wasn't my yelling or my screaming or any of those other things that I wanted to do. It was the grace of God that released it. It's Him who released it. See, we got to step into His grace. When somebody comes against us and they're offending us and they're hurting us, we want to stay in His grace. Just remind yourself, stay in the grace. Come on, Pastor, stay in the grace. Come on, say it with me. Stay in the grace, Pastor. Stay in the grace, Pastor. Stay in the grace. Because when we stay in the grace, God can move. When we stay in the grace, God can change. When we stay in the grace, God has His effect already on the world around you. I will tell you, I've seen, when you stay in the grace, another customer service issue. When I was staying in grace, they'd already told us the wrong information once, and they were supposed to send us an email to line everything out. Never did it. That was a month ago. I called him up on Friday. And I was like, stay in the grace, Pastor. Stay in the grace, Pastor. You know what? The lady, the first words out of her mouth was, oh, well, hey, I see what happened in your account. You don't need this. You need that. Do this. Within 5 minutes of conversation, everything that had not been unraveled for a month, say for a month, got unraveled. Glory to God. Because we stayed in the grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Staying in the grace, we've got to enter into His grace because we can't work hard enough to earn it. We can't work hard enough to earn it. You ain't pretty enough to earn it. I know some of you are really cute, but you can't be pretty enough to earn it. Hallelujah. Justin might be pretty enough to earn it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Stay in the grace, Pastor. Stay in the grace, Pastor. We can trust. Now, see, that leads us to the next point, trusting in Him. You see, when we're making way, we're making ready, when we're making room, God is telling us, teaching us how to trust Him. Because trust makes room. Trust makes room. It causes us to stay in His grace even as we please Him. You see, if your goal is just to please God, what you wind up doing is just striving with God. But if your goal is to walk in His grace, if your goal is to trust Him, you're going to automatically please Him because your trust, your faith, will please Him. And I don't have to enter into striving. I don't have to manufacture it out of my own doing. I can just walk in the grace. Hallelujah. Is that a mind opener right there? That was worth the price of admission right there. Right there. I think you ought to just give the Lord a hand slap. Hallelujah. Because why? Because He keeps us in a right perspective. When we allow Him, when we're trusting Him, it keeps us in a right perspective because we can see a bigger God than our circumstance and situation. We can see that God is bigger. We can see that He's faithful and true. We can see He's good and kind. And we can see that He's well-intentioned towards us. Why? Because that's a right perspective, because it comes from trusting Him. As we trust Him, it makes a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, it keeps us in the expectation when we trust Him. When you're trusting Him, it keeps you in expectation. And when you're in a godly, good expectation, that is the basis of hope. That's what hope is. See, hope is an earnest expectation. And as we stay in that place of earnest expectation, faith is formed. Faith is the result. Hallelujah. We're making room. We're making room for His fire, and faith is what happens. Faith is revealed out of making room. And it's the... That leads us into the establishment of Holy Spirit in our lives. Allowing the light of His grace and truth to change what we see and believe. To change what we think. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit has a work and an operation, and His first thing is to come alongside you and reveal all that Christ already did for you. To reveal all that the Father has planned for you. That's His whole mission in life, is to come alongside you. The one who comes alongside to walk with you everywhere that you walk. And as He walks with you, He's continuously revealing the plan of God over your life. And as you do so, as you're staying and you're making room, Holy Spirit can begin to fill that room with grace and truth. Why? Because the grace and truth, John 1:17 tells us this, that grace and truth were the result of Christ being revealed. When Christ comes, it reveals grace and truth. Grace and truth being revealed in your life. Hallelujah. I want to save that thought. It was already touched on earlier. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Tina. But number eight was receiving. See, when we're receiving, when we're making room, we're beginning to be focused in on receiving. When we're focused in on receiving, it's for a reason. Because when we're focused in on receiving, it becomes something that causes us to make impact in us and in our nation. In us and in our community. It's something, as we focus in on receiving, it's not just something that we're doing just for ourselves. It's because as we're receiving, we're doing something that cleanses us and prepares us for what is coming next. It cleanses us and prepares us to do what God has already put in your heart. It makes you possible for you to go and step into your destiny. See, some of you have a destiny as an evangelist. Some of you have a destiny as pastors. Some of you have destiny in the world of helps. Some of you have destinies as gospel entrepreneurs. Some of you have destinies as businessmen or women. It doesn't matter what your destiny is. It doesn't matter what God called you to do. It matters that you step into it. Hallelujah. I want to reveal one more thing, because making room is about beginning and daring to dream with Him again. But making room really is the essence of revival. It's the essence of revival. See, if I had told you that you're preparing revival in your heart, some of you would have turned this off right then and right there. But by telling you what it is that we're doing, we're making room. Now we see the purpose of revival for our life. Because now we see the purpose of where God is taking us. We see what God is releasing over us and in us so we can begin to obtain what He's called us to. See, sometimes we talk about revival and people have these pictures about all these emotions and these miracles and these manifestations and all this. I tell you what, I'm sure that as things progress, there's going to be some miracles, there's going to be some emotions, and there's going to be some things that happen. But you know what? First and foremost, it's God about God shifting something in us, bringing us into a place of transformation so we can represent Him well. That's our heart, to represent Him. I encourage you. See, past revivals were generally about dealing with people's sin. I encourage you today. I know somebody will start. I'm telling you, this revival, it'll deal with sin, but it's about releasing you into the grace. It's about revealing. It's about revealing who you are and what your identity is in Christ. It's about revealing who you are, not just yourself, but the world around you. And that happens by His grace, because if we make it all about sin, then we get the wrong focus, because God is a God of grace. He'll deal with those issues, but say, I'm talking to a people here that really aren't, that, you know, those issues really aren't the mere main thing. But all of us need to step into the grace and step into the destiny that He has for us. Hallelujah. So let the fire consume what's in the way of the grace. Let the fire consume what's way of the grace. When Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain of Moriah, he's going to make a sacrifice. Genesis 22 verse 6 says he set the wood on Isaac's back. He carried the burden of it all the way up the hill. He carried the burden all the way up until the moment when Abraham began to bundle him up. What I'm telling you here is that God is going to be the one who provides the sacrifice. What I'm telling you here is that burden that you brought, that's what the fire is going to consume. The burden that's been upon you, the burden that's been on your back all this time, that's what God wants to consume this morning. He wants to consume that burden, whatever that is. And no matter what the issue is, no matter what it was, God wants to consume that with the fire. This morning, as we just begin to just, I don't know what to put. You know what to put? Well, fire in my bones. As we just begin to play fire in my bones, I just want to give you an opportunity. I want you to have the opportunity to come up front. Tina and I are going to be, we're going to release and pray over you and for you. But even without us praying, I want you to just stand here with an expectancy in your heart. An expectancy for God to release His fire. An expectancy for Him to consume that burden. An expectancy to know that this is not about your sin, this is about your grace and your destiny. I want you to have an expectancy that the goal here is God. That most of you are walking and doing and you're in it. You have a good life. You're good people. But the goal here is not just to walk in the good, but to walk in the God. To go all the way. To go all the way. Whatever stand between you and grace, let it go this morning. Whatever standing in between you and grace, we're going to let it go this morning.